talk, if you will, where we are now, middle of July. The whole concept of the super committee trying to come up with solutions and the penalty that we're talking about now, these possible cuts that go into effect in the first of the year. As we go back and look, will we ever try this idea of a super committee again with these kind of penalties if they don't come up with a solution?
Scott, I would certainly hope that we'd never bring up the idea or the concept of a super committee ever again in the future. I mean, it turned out to be a strategically bad mistake to do that. And I'm not trying to criticize anybody. We felt like that the desire of the other side of the aisle to not cut social programs was as strong as our side of the aisle desire to not cut defense. And as a result of those two strong desires, we felt like both people would sit down and negotiate in good faith. That turned out to be a misguided assumption. So we won't do that again. Let's roll the clock back and think about what caused this. It was in June and July and August of last year when John Boehner was seated across the table from the president, and they were working on what they called the big deal. And the big deal was to be able to find a way to raise the debt ceiling and cut spending and cut the growth of government by looking at entitlement programs. And John Boehner even put increased revenue on the table through comprehensive tax reform, and he was willing to add, I think it was about $500 billion revenue to the mix. And at the last minute, the president changed his mind and said, no, I've got to have at least $1.5 to $2 trillion of extra tax revenue, which means you've got to dramatically raise rates. And John Boehner wasn't willing to kill the economy to do that.
I see Dick Cheney was on the Hill yesterday talking to Republican senators. And again, this is a former defense. He spent time in the Defense Department as well, I guess, trying to sound the warning.
Well, we all Americans should be rightly concerned about the impact of the sequester on our nation's security. Look, the situation in the world is about as dangerous as it's ever been in the last 60 years. And I think that we should not want to take chances with hurting our military strength by letting this sequester kick in. You saw what Patty Murray on the Senate side decided to say the other a couple of days ago, and that is that she was willing to use the nuclear option and let those cuts kick in and not work on any kind of extension of current tax rates. She'd just assume that we kill the Harry Reid folks in the Senate kill the economy.
Yeah, I think it's fair to say if you know anybody in the military, if you talk to them about this, it's dangerous on so many fronts. Let's turn our attention. Bill Flores joining us from D.C. Let's turn our attention to the idea that top congressional Republicans are trying to do everything they can to keep a government shutdown fight from happening when the fiscal year ends at the end of September. We remember what happened last time. That was something that the Republicans carried to Election Day, and it certainly hurt them at the polls. Do you see this government shutdown even looming on the horizon?
We're not talking about it on our side of the aisle at all. Look, we've been doing our job. We're going to pass our seventh of 12 appropriations bills this week. The Senate has not passed any yet. We're doing everything we're supposed to do. We passed the budget. We've gone through the oversight process the way we're supposed to. But the Senate's not doing anything. And as a result, we're going to have to look at a continuing resolution to fund the government past September 30th. And based on the way Harry Reid's talking these days, he's going to put politics in front of governance.
Well, as one member of Congress, and tell me, because leadership wants to stay at last year's debt limit, yet there are conservatives who are wanting to go more with Paul Ryan's budget, which would be lower funding numbers. How do you feel as far as what you're comfortable with there?
Well, here's what I would do. Given that we've got divided government and that the difference between the Paul Ryan budget, which I'm an author of, and the amount included in the Budget Control Act from last summer, the difference between those two budgets, those two thresholds, is $19 billion. And so let's say you had a four-month appropriations bill, continuing resolution. That would mean that you'd have four-twelfths of that $19 billion.
All right.
And so you're talking basically a third of it, $6 billion. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't shut the government down over a $6 billion argument. Mm-hmm. Because I think that hurts. It's the wrong thing to put the American people through. And it also could potentially backfire politically. So I think that would be a dumb decision.
And lastly, let's again take your congressional hat off for a minute and talk energy, because we've seen gas prices started to move back up again, and maybe people were comfortable at these prices before. Now they look back and realize they weren't comfortable at them before as they continue to rise now. What is your view of prices at the pump right now and what's going to happen there?
Well, my guess is that we won't see them get much stronger, and the primary reason is we've had demand destruction because of a weak economy. I just don't see anything on the horizon that's going to cause the economy to get stronger between now and the end of the year, and as a result of that, I would think that gas prices will stay roughly where they are. Now, there's one caveat to that, and that is there's a lot of uncertainty in the Middle East. We've had our first shots fired in the Straits of Hormuz. Our Navy presence is fairly large there, and the reason it's large is because we've got increased instability coming from Iran. If we have anything major, doesn't even have to be major, but if we have any hiccup over there in terms of shipping through the Straits of Hormuz, we could have a dramatic jump in not only oil prices, but then gasoline prices.
Yeah, there'd be a real knee-jerk, probably, as you say, if anything happened that broke that chain.
Oh, yeah, it could be $4 or $5 overnight, about per gallon. I mean, it could be pretty dramatic.
Yeah. Bill Flores joins us on Wednesdays when Congress is in session. You can hear the entire interview archived on our website at WTAW.com. Thanks for the time this morning, Bill.
Well, I'd ask our listeners, continue praying for our country and for our military men and women during these difficult times. By the way, folks want to check my YouTube, I was able to honor the life of Lieutenant Colonel Roy Tisdale on the floor last night.
Great. We'll look for that. Thanks a lot.
Thank you all.